Close your eyes and picture this. It's Friday night. Your parents are out getting a pizza from Pizza Haven, and you are left inside a video store. But not just any video store, it's the last video store with every single film on its shelves. You are listening to it right now. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos. I'm the host of this show and the clerk held in residence at the Last Video Store. And every week on this show, we're joined by a special guest who'll be picking out some of their favorite movies ever in the style of an old school video store rental combo, including one new release and two weekly titles. I'll then follow that up with a staff pick, bespoke, customized recommendation for our guests based on their choices and their taste. Joining me on the show this week is one of my dearest, my nearest, and oldest friends. It is your friend as well, Nina Oyama. Nina Oyama is such a funny freaking comedian and a cool dude, a great actor. You know them from appearing in Deadlock, where they play Abby Matsuda. They also just killed it in the very funny Taskmaster Australia season one. They've been a writer on stuff like Koala Man, YOLO Crystal Fantasy, and the great web series called Latecomers. If you don't know who Nina Oyama is, I'd say you're actually freaking crazy, dude. But she's coming into the store, and I'll say this, Nina's also a big cinephile, so I'm gonna have such a great time talking about some of her favorite movies. Let's get into our chat. Okay, well, Nina Oyama, my dear friend, thank you for coming to freaking visit me at my place of work behind this counter.
Thank you. I love this blockbuster. It's my favorite blockbuster.
It's actually Batuta Video, okay? We had to rename it. We had to rename it. It's
my blockbuster. Batuta Video?
Yeah, we're in...
Because we're in Batuta.
We're in the beautiful town of Batuta.
The beautiful town of Batuta, yes.
Yeah, and thank you for doing this wonderful performance of improvisation right now. We're in the space. We're in the zone.
Yeah. There's like videos here and videos over there.
Absolutely. Everywhere you look, there's freaking videos.
I know, it's crazy right
and
now.
And where you don't look, there's actually DVDs.
Oh.
We've got some of those too.
Oh, very modern.
Very modern.
And where are the Betamaxes, Alexi?
Oh, we've got a hidden section right here. I've got a drawer full of all 10,000 Betamax films.
Oh, great, great.
But it is my honor to be hosting you here.
Thank you. It's my honor to come here.
Well, I'm
going to... chambers.
To my chambers. This is my little cave.
Yes.
This is my cave. It's where I've always wanted to live, is just in amongst the discs and the tapes.
I honestly believe that.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was no lie within me. There was no lie within me at all. I'm going to sign you up to our system so you can rent some freaking movies.
Thank you, Alexi.
I'm going to need to see a little piece of ID from you, though, to set you up into our system. And what am I seeing here but a police badge stating the name Constable Abby Matsuda of Deadlock PD?
That is I.
That's
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am.
Oh, my God. She's in character. I was going to say, I actually wanted to ask you because, you know, me and you, we've been friends for a very long time.
Yeah.
Probably like 10 years, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah. That's like a silver decade. Isn't that like, do we get a spoon for that?
I hope so.
Anniversary?
Wait, we have to spoon?
Do we have to spoon? I'll spoon.
Okay. But I was going to say, I've known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Abby Matsuda, this character, is actually so far removed from who you are. The quiet,
what?
Nervous, a little shy. And it was when I watched your Deadlock, I was shocked. Because I was expecting to see like the persona, Nina Oyama, on screen.
Yeah.
But then
yeah,
it was like really big shift.
Yeah,
was that...
like a little cutie sweetie. You really think I'm a little sweetie cutie? Damn.
I hate to break it to you. I don't think so. But now I'm getting misgivings now that I've met the Abby Matsuda as well.
Yeah, look, I'm an actor now, Alexei.
It's true.
I'm not just a comedian, I'm also an actor.
Not just actor, actor nominated
for
this wonderful role. Okay. Was it tough for you to like kind of go, well, how do I play someone that is almost the opposite of how I present myself?
Not really, because I think Abby is how I feel inside.
Whoa.
Like, I'm so stressed all the time. I'm always desperate for people to like me. And so instead of just being like a cool, fun dude that like makes jokes or whatever, I just get to be my true self. Who's like, yes, sorry, thank you. thank you so much for doing it. Oh, no, it's just so, like, that's my internal monologue.
Your essence.
It's just, like, a high-pitched, like, nervous policewoman just being like, thank you.
Wow.
But then obsessed with crime.
That's true. Usually. You're obsessed with crime. That's exciting.
Well, the character is. I'm not as.
The one difference.
The only difference.
That's cool. That it was like, okay, shed the persona. Let's be me. The essence is out there in the world.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. And the writing from the Cates was very clear, I think, to me. It was very well written. Like, sometimes you... Oh, God, I sound like a freaking actor right now.
You're an actor.
I'm like, but, you know, sometimes you just get a script, you know, Alexi, and it just jumps off the page, and it's just easy. Like,
Just
easy to interpret, you know?
I feel like I'm here across from freaking Simon Baker or something right now. My God.
Ew, I mean, thank you. That's a really nice thing to say.
He's one of the most handsome men in the country.
He is. Mm-hmm. That's actually it's very nice of you to say, but I think there's sort of, like, because I came up as a comedian, mm-hmm. and I also do writing,
yes.
and I think there's sort of just, like, not that we look down on actors, but they're just, like, different. They're different beasts.
It's a different skill set, different type of
performance.
Yeah,
it's very
as well.
Sincere. Like, they talk about their craft, and which I respect, because, like, good actors are incredible. Mm-hmm. But there's something a little bit cringe about acting conceptually. Yeah, and so whenever I'm like, yeah, to get into my role, you know, I just had to, like, access my inner monologue. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, like, there's me outside of myself just being like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, what are you on about, you idiot? You
know? Unfortunately, living a human life is cringe in every way.
It's true.
If you look at it from a certain angle, everything you do is cringe.
Yeah.
Like, right now, look, I've got green screen set up to
no,
look
you
like,
don't. This is a video.
Oh, shit. I mean,
I've been suspending disbelief. I've been acting.
Sorry.
How dare you break the fourth wall on me like this,
sorry,
Alexi?
I'm a fucking gonzo podcast host.
You're crazy for that.
Will you think you do want to pursue more acting? Is that something you want to pursue? Because you're also going down the path of writer-director as well.
Yeah.
Is that you want to be one of those that does both?
Yeah. I mean, that would be nice. I think I have self-esteem when it comes to writing and directing because, mm-hmm. like, I'm so comfortable in a writer's room and I love writing scripts and I like directing because it's just... Mm-hmm. Directing is just vibes.
Yes.
Like...
And it's less cringe.
It's less cringe because you just, like, sit there, you're, like, behind the monitor and you just, like, sit there and you
you're
make
a tone
jokes.
Setter. You go, like, okay, let's get the tone. You can do that.
And you're, like, everyone... Like, it's just, like, if you have a good time on set, everyone has a good time on set. If you have a bad time on set, everyone has a terrible time on set. Mm-hmm. So it's just about, like... being a nice person and being prepared.
Being a vibe smith.
Yeah, vibe smith. That's such a good... Oh, I love that so much. I'm going to... I was going to go with the arbiter of tone was what I was going to say.
Okay. Well,
but vibe smith is like...
Can I say this? How about we trade?
Yeah, okay. Yes, sir. Well, I'll claim vibe smith.
And I'm taking arbiter of tone. I like it.
Yeah, it's very like... It's very... smoky, like, it's like someone holding a whiskey would be
and
like
a lounge jacket kind of thing.
Okay. Me, I'm the arbiter of tone.
I think that makes sense. I think I'm more an arbiter of tone. I think you're more
I'm more of a vibe smith for sure.
God, thank God we sorted that out. We were meant to meet on this day and do a trade.
The tension was in the air. But I think I feel more comfortable not being on camera because the other thing is then you don't have to worry about being on camera. There's something so inherent about like being perceived already, like as a human. And then when you add a camera and like the layer of being a character or like what you look like when you're performing in front of that and like what your face is doing, like I don't really know what my face is doing most of the time. And then when I watch it back on the monitor, I'm like, my eyebrow was there. Like it so messes with you a little bit. Yeah, and so I think not having to worry about what you look like essentially is more comfortable to me.
Yeah.
But the problem is I lack attention. So then being in front of the camera is good for that.
God,
you know?
That is the curse of the performer.
Exactly.
They fear being perceived, but there's nothing they love more
than like than receiving like praise and attention. So
yeah, I only want to act, but no one can say anything bad about me.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone just says be nice and I don't want to have to remember my lines. That's the other thing. I have really bad memory because I used to smoke a lot of weed do a lot of this shit.
Well, hopefully we can find some lovely movies for you to get freaking
stoned
out. Get stoned out of your freaking brain and enjoy some wonderful cinema.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, I'm going to send you out to the shelves, go pick up your flicks, come on back and we'll chat them over.
Thanks, Alexi. Maybe I have a little dude when I'm outside.
Oh my God, that's dastardly.
Precious time.
Don't do that.
Do I walk over with you?
Yeah,
I'm walking
you can walk
around.
Back. Walk Where back around.
Release.
Okay, what a wonderful little pile of flicks you've got here, Nina.
Thank you.
We're going to start talking about your new release first, because this is a movie that I really, really like. I think this is one of, like, dare I say, the nastiest comedies I've seen in a few years.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. It is a Norwegian film mm-hmm. by Christopher Borgli. Mm-hmm. It is a movie called Sick of Myself.
It is.
Comedy.
Tell me about Sick of Myself, dude.
Sick of Myself is about a girl. She's a waitress and she has a boyfriend that's an artist. And his entire thing is sort of stealing fancy furniture.
Mm, he's kind of like a conceptual artist, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And he calls himself the thief. But the thing is, she helps him steal this furniture. And at some point, she just gets sick of, you know, him getting all the accolades for stealing stuff, which she helped do. Mm-hmm. And he's always like, I didn't have any help. And she's like, ah.
She starts craving that attention.
A very relatable feeling. And in order to get attention, she starts taking a Russian painkiller mm-hmm. that eats away at her skin and creates deformities in her face and
yeah,
body.
Skin
and
conditions. Like
it makes her so sick
yeah.
of herself. Oh. But it's incredible. And it's yeah. like from woe to go, it's so funny. Like, the tension between her and the boyfriend, or like her and her friends are like doing better than mm-hmm. her, and there's sort of, they play with fantasy elements. So a lot of the time yeah. you'll just be watching and then it's sort of, and you think it's a scene that's happening in real life mm-hmm. and then it'll cut back to her and that's just her fantasy. And the beautiful thing is towards the end, you sort of lose track of like what is real and what is not real. But also the attempts of her fantasy, like, I'm allowed to spoil it.
I mean, like, gently so. Let's be gentle.
I don't know. I just think...
Because it's a pretty new movie. A lot of people might have had a chance to see it, but it weirdly did really well in Australian cinemas.
It's so good. Actually, you got me that ticket.
It's true, yes.
I did. I saw...
I'm feeling good about the recommendations because the distributors that put it out are my friends. They said, who should we invite
Static
to
Vision.
Pre-screenings? Our dear friends at Static Vision.
Yeah.
They hit me up and I said... My first person I'm going to tell you to go see it. They're not a critic, but they are a filmmaker and they will love this movie.
Oh, mate.
And so I put you on into contact with them to go see it.
Thank you.
So already I've got a tick on the big recommendation.
Mate, you nailed it. It's probably like my favorite movie of the year, I reckon.
Oh, hell yes.
It's so good. Yeah.
To me, it's such... I think it's hard to kind of do modern satire a lot of the time because
yeah.
I think it's like we've seen so much satire and satire is like constant. But
yeah.
this is, feels like such a fresh bite into modern day millennial or Gen Z narcissism.
Yeah,
in a
it
way
does.
It's so like kind of gritty and nasty.
And it's so like, it just keeps going. Like it's sort of like, you know, a lot of satire is like, mm-hmm. it's the same joke sort of repeated yeah. over and over. This one, it just like extends it to the point where like you are so deeply uncomfortable.
The escalation is unreal
in this
movie.
It's unwatchable because you just go from like laughing to being like, she's doing that. Oh no. Like it's like peak cringe. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of like goes past cringe to becoming like horrible body horror.
That's it. The body horror of this movie is crazy.
It's so good. But she's also so beautiful. Like, what is her, the main, not Sigrid.
Signe
is like this beautiful girl. And when she becomes like a deformed model or whatever, like that scene.
Yeah. This is actress Christine Kujas-Thorpe.
She's a genius.
She's an amazing performance. And the way that plays with body horror, because like we've had body horror comedies before, like the Evil Dead movies and stuff where it's kind of...
Well, it's like so overtly, or like Saw, or like anything that's sort of...
Where it's like the escalation goes beyond, where it goes, it starts out scary, but it extends itself so much. You go, I have to laugh now.
Or it's like sexual. Like, I don't know if like body horror feels often like it's like...
That
like
Cronenberg.
That one where like the guy in the tentacles and the woman does that crazy dance and Sam Neill's in it?
Possession.
Like that to me. And this is like so not sexual. Like you do not feel even accidentally a little horny after this film. No. You're just like...
Yeah, you become a husk after this film.
You really do.
But it's one of the best husks you could be. This is such it's a fun movie as well.
It is.
Like, the way that it challenges you is fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's like that body horror element that is... Because it doesn't extend itself outside of reality, the body horror.
No.
So I think it's like you kind of get stuck going like, oh shit, I could become...
Be this person.
Yeah, I could come that way.
Well, also like the thing that I love about Signe is there's this sort of thing with like her absent father is like constantly touched on through the film. And then her mum is sort of like this weird, she's in that wellness cult.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of like... it explains a lot why this woman is like constantly craving the approval of everyone around her, because like her boyfriend doesn't give it to her. Mm-hmm. Her father has like abandoned her as a child, and her mother is like so woo-woo up in the air that she just has nothing, like she has no love in her life. And so it is sort of, I found myself being quite empathetic to her in some regard. Obviously, when she's like so far at the deep end, you kind of, you know, you're like, okay, I don't know if I'll ever go that crazy. But there's just the emotion, or like the emotional engine that drives her to that point is so relatable for me.
Oh, absolutely. I would say, this is a really good pairing with another Norwegian comedy that's been really big in the last few years, The Worst Person in the World.
Yes.
And but this is a movie where you could go, well, this actually is The Worst Person in the World. But I think if you like that, but you want to push yourself a little bit further, Sick of Myself is a great recommendation.
Yeah. Because The Worst Person in the World is sort of like Frances Ha, not to give away the future film.
I'll cover it up.
Oh, no. But you can edit that out. Time out, as they say in the comeback. Time out. But yeah, I think it's sort of, it is this thing which is like a journey of self-discovery. Like, I think Worst Person in the World is a very Norwegian.
Yes. Oh, wow.
It's Norwegian and Norwegian.
Oh, my God. Just coined the phrase then.
Norwegian. Thank you.
You can write a PhD right now.
Print it. Arbiter of Tone and Norwegian. But I do think there is like, I love Greta Gerwig, and we'll talk about this soon, because like, all of her narratives are about like a woman that wants to become like the best at something and just realizes she's mediocre.
Yeah.
Like that's like literally the central theme to every Greta Gerwig film, which is why I didn't hate Barbie, because I was like, that's what she's been doing her entire life. But I do feel like Worst Person in the World like treads that sort of line where it is like a, you know, woman's self-discovery into accepting mediocrity.
Yeah, beautifully put, dude.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll give you like a little further nudge. If you haven't seen Christopher Borgli's other films,
Dream Scenario.
Dream Scenario is really cool with
Nicolas Cage
appearing in people's dreams. It's like another kind of like fun, that kind of edges into a satirical take. I quite liked it. I found it really funny.
I liked it. I think it fell over at the third. It suffered from third act syndrome, like so many films this year. Like Saltburn suffered from the third act syndrome. But yeah. Dream Scenario.
God, I hope my third act's great in real life.
I feel like I'm going to suffer.
I'm holding out for my third act.
I won two awards this week and I'm like, I've peaked. Like, I'm out. But that scene in Dream Scenario has one of my favourite scenes of all time. Mm. With the young girl and him, and it's just
he's good at that cringe comedy. Just really putting you into it and getting stuck.
Yeah.
His other film, which is the first one I saw from him maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, it's called Drib. Ooh. And it is so weird and whack. It's kind of like, it uses documentary technique. Like, I don't know if any of it is real, but it's basically about a filmmaker that's making an ad. But it's kind of told in the backstory of like, this filmmaker actually made this ad for like an unnamed soft drink company called Drib. It's really weird. It's just a really weird satire.
Is it like Watermelon Woman? Like the same way that's sort of a documentary?
A bad call. I'd say not a bad call. I'd say it gives you a little bit more of the, it casts a bit more of the documentary spell than Watermelon Woman does. Because Watermelon Woman is like, there's a documentary within the film that she's making. This is a little bit more the fuller experience. But I think that's probably the closest I've ever thought of a movie that can... To be in the same ballpark as it.
Yeah.
But Drib is whack. It's a bit hard to find. It's worth tracking down.
Okay.
Especially if you love Sick of Myself.
Yeah.
Dude, great pick for your new release.
Oh, thank you, Alexi.
Weekly. Before we get into your weekly choices, I got to ask you another question to put into the system.
Please.
Have you ever been a member of another video store before?
I have, other than Batuta Video.
Yeah.
Of which I am a very...
And now a member.
Very loyal member. It's the only video store I'm currently at. I went to Video Easy as a child, Video Easy Crow's Nest, my friends.
Yes. Okay, wow.
I used to call it Video Crazy because I think... I called it that one time when I was a kid. You know when like a kid says something stupid and parents are like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And now like a grandma's called like gum.
Let me sign up to class counts, darling.
Like it's just, I don't know. Well, I called it Video Crazy for a long time. But I don't have any memories except for my friend's sister worked there. Her name is Georgia. And she was the coolest person
ever.
Wow,
shout out to Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia Engel.
A soldier of cinema alongside me working the trenches in the video stores.
Oh, yeah. I just thought she was so cool. But my other video experience, which was much more not like negative per se, mm-hmm. was that Blockbuster Bathurst, I can say this now because it's closed.
Yes.
I rented.
Dead and buried.
And it's goodbye, bye, bitch.
But so this is when you were at uni, you studied at Bathurst.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was at uni, and I think I just didn't. No, it was back when like I had some DVD. I had like some DVDs, but I just watched them entirely too much. Like I watched Sex and the City heaps and Buffy.
Yeah.
I just had a lot of DVD collections.
The Ninoyama collection.
It really, literally was just, explains a lot.
Yeah.
I love fucking and killing vampires. yeah, I remember like we went to Blockbuster often, and I remember I rented 3 movies. I think it was The Bling Ring, Blue Jasmine, and Thank You for Sharing, the sex movie with Gwyneth Paltrow and Pink. Pink's acting debut.
What?
Yeah, it's got Josh Gad, and he's like an upskirt. He's like in a sex addicts group.
Whoa.
Yeah, Josh Gad, like he's like a nurse that like upskirts patients or something. It's really weird.
I gotta say, and that's disturbing casting.
Yeah, already.
I don't like the sound of that. Wow, Mark Ruffalo, Tim Robbins, Gwyneth Paltrow. Can I say this? This is a rare instance where I've been fully stumped. I've never even heard of this movie.
Are you serious? It's by the guys that did The Kids Are All Right. Anyway.
Oh, I love that. Okay, I love that movie.
I didn't love this movie, but I was a different person then.
Yeah.
But I did. I rented those 3 films. And I never gave them back. And then Blockbuster closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, thank God. Never have to.
The burden's lifted.
Exactly. Goodbye.
Just
like, I still have them.
Yeah.
Then like 3 months later, I get like a $100 fine. There's like some loan shark that got my
the
Blockbuster
deal.
Yeah, and I had to pay like $100. And I was like, shit. Yeah.
Dude.
For Bling Ring, Blue Jasmine, and Thank You for Sharing.
Wow.
Which were entirely not worth it.
Yeah.
No offense.
Some cursed items in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Woody Allen fine we all must pay every now and then. All right, we're going to your first weekly choice. And you know what category I'm going to put this film in? We've got this in the art house film section.
Okay.
And I think that this is a wonderful film. This is a collaboration between lovers, Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig. And they've made Greenberg before this.
Yes.
But the film is Frances Ha.
Art house.
It's their first major complete collaboration.
Yeah, it is. It's my favorite film. It's like probably one of my favorite films of all time.
What resonates with you about this film?
Oh God, what doesn't resonate with me?
That was the other question I was going to ask.
It's really just like about a woman failing downwards, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She just, she's like loves her best friend. She's like a modern dancer,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like every single thing in her life is just on a shaky ground. Like her friendship is shaky, and her financial situation is shaky, and
her relationships
are shaky.
Her living situation
is shaky. So her family, like mm-hmm. you just kind of, her family's pretty like constant, but they are unable to help her, I guess.
Yeah.
She wants to be a modern dancer and like live with her best friend Sophie and be best friends forever, which is such a funny like. Best Friends Forever is such a college girl energy. And it's like she's 27 and she's like, I want to be best friends forever. And like, you know, that bit where she's like, tell me the story of us. You know, we're going to come to New York City and I'll be a famous dancer and you'll be a famous publisher. And it's such a like adolescent view on the world. And she's sort of like constantly reminded that she's 27
mm-hmm.
by everyone around her and that she's poor and she doesn't know what's going on. But she retains this sort of childlike puppy. I'm going to have my best friend and it's going to be the best.
It's like that hopefulness that I think is kind of, there's so much hint of the pain of the experience that she's gone through and in her backstory that we don't really see.
Yeah.
Like you can feel there's that pain, but I think she's got this good-natured spirit that hints at quite a hopeful movie.
Well, she's so charming.
God, and it's such a good performance. Watching it again made me miss seeing her on screen so much.
Yes, she's so compelling and she's so just like, She doesn't fit in. She's so tall and like gawky and she's beautiful. And she's also like, because it's black and white and she's like running everywhere and she falls over. Like it's such a good slapstick performance.
Yeah.
And they have all this old school like tunes kind of.
Yeah. It's kind of like this really nice mix, especially with that black and white digital cinematography, which is, I think gives it a really unique look because it's not high contrast black and white.
Mm.
It's like that silvery black and white, that grayscale.
Yeah.
It feels very classical. It's kind of this lovely mixed balance of, you know, French and European new wave sensibilities.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of that, dare I say, Woody Allen-esque comedy, which is definitely like a major influence on this.
Yeah.
So this is a great way to watch something if you feel like a Woody Allen movie, but don't need to.
Don't want
to
watch it. Yeah. You want to watch a Woody Allen film, but you don't want to give money to a predator. Although I do think that's kind of like the joy of watching something by someone that's been cancelled, is you're like, I'm not supposed to be watching
really
this.
Naughty.
Yeah, it's like when you're in the shop and like a Michael Jackson song comes on and you're like, well, fuck. I'm not allowed to put this on myself, but there is like a perverse glee and being like, I'll stay to the end of Thriller. You know,
you look around and go, can I sneak a moonwalk down this
aisle?
Like,
I'm reading all the ingredients in this cheese while it finishes. But yeah, like Frances, I feel like it's so funny because I didn't watch a whole lot of Woody Allen growing up. So my reference for this sort of humor is Girls, weirdly.
Oh,
it's very
gosh.
Like a New York, it's very modern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, modern, like, snarky humor. And, like, the way they speak to each other and the way every character is, like, I don't know, a kind of archetype, but a very specific archetype.
Dude, this is so good because I recently did a rewatch of Girls. And this, I recently rewatched this as well. And I'd say both Lena Dunham and Greta Gerwig, I'm like a ground zero Greta Gerwig fan and Lena Dunham fan. I've been following Greta Gerwig since like the Mumblecore days when I was in high school.
Wow.
Like watching.
But what else has she done? I honestly, this is my first Greta Gerwig film.
Well, okay. Well, these are when she was actor, like an actor collaborator and stuff. So there'd be stuff like Baghead with the Duplass brothers, which is kind of like in the realm of horror comedy.
Uh-huh.
And she also made this actual horror movie where she was a supporting best friend character in it called House of the Devil, which at the time, would have been like 2007 maybe I would have seen it, was the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Really?
And it's like always stuck with me. I always loved it. And I go, this actress is fantastic. So like since I was probably like 16, I was just like, I love this actor.
Yeah.
I remember just going, oh God, I remember when she was going to make the How I Met Your Mother spinoff like 15 years
ago.
Yeah,
and you're like,
I was like, oh, I hope it's great. I can't wait to watch her on TV every week. But going back to both this and Girls, the first time I revisited either of them, since I grew older than the characters in the movie. And I think there's a lot of, like when I first saw those things, I was either just their age or a bit younger.
Same.
And now going back and going like, oh my God, I've moved beyond them and I'm still a fuck up. It's like, oh shit.
But also you have so much compassion for, because I watched Girls and I was like 16, 17, I think. And I was like, 24, you're a fucking old lady. Like
they say 27's old in this.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just like, oh man, that's rough. But yeah, but I remember watching this and feeling, and Girls, and just feeling like all those problems that they had as 24 were like my problems as a 17-year-old. Even this Frances Ha, like, now I'm just like, it's funny, whatever, like 15 years ago, like it still feels like my life, like a weird fucked up portraiture of my own life.
It's a great pick, dude. I love this movie.
Oh, thank you.
It was a joy to watch. It's been so cool seeing her become the major, like a major part of film now.
Yeah.
And just her extension of just with each film becoming more ambitious is so exciting to me.
That's why I loved the Barbie movie, like, because it was so weird. Like, it shouldn't have worked. A studio musical and the two, like, this is the way that it was pieced together. Like, it shouldn't have.
Big, brassy, broad comedy with like really interesting production design.
Yeah, it's, and then the humor was very off kilter. It was like, have you seen Statlett's Flats?
Yeah.
It's very Jamie Jamisha, who's in the film.
Who's in the movie.
And I was like, did he do a pass? Like that bit where Ryan Gosling like turns around and is like, sublime! And you're like, what? Like, it's so funny, but it's like, it's not like a setup punchline joke. It's just like a guy being a weird little freak. And like, I just was like, I watched it and I was like, this is so, I was also really stoned when I watched it. But yeah, I was, it shouldn't have worked. And then like the way that Barbie also didn't even have like the main sort of storylines. The people with the main storylines were like America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling. Oh, sorry, Ken and...
Yes.
And America Ferrera's character's name.
Human female woman in this movie.
But like, yeah, it was so... I think like it was sort of a triumph in the way that it was pieced together, I guess. Like, I don't think it was like the world's best film, but I think it was like an incredibly ambitious and objectively weird film. And I think that like you can see Greta's weirdness sort of come out in this script.
Starts
and,
eking through.
Yeah. And I think like I felt, I don't know, I think I had a lot of trouble with Lady Bird because I think I had a very complicated relationship with like my parents, and everyone was like, oh, you're gonna love Ladybird, and I was like, that mum loves her so much. Like, yeah. I was just like, compared to my living, and also like she was supposed to be poor, and I was like, compared to my living situation, like this is a fucking cakewalk. Like I was really like put down by everyone being like, look how poor she is, and look how much her mum hates her, and I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I really loved Little Women, and Barbie I just thought was very ambitious.
Yeah. Well, she's a hero. We love you, Greta.
She's good, yes.
We stand you, Greta.
Gawidgian. She's Gawidgian. It's my dream one day to make a Gawidgian film.
Dude, I think it's going to happen.
It's in
me. I think so. It's in you.
Thank you.
We're going to our next pick now. And boy, oh boy, this is, this is
a psycho film.
It's a psycho film.
It's also funny because it's like, of the films that I picked, like you'd see Sick of Myself, and then you go to Frances Ha, and it's like,
there's
that
a
line
tissue.
Is very easily drawn, and then you get Frances Ha to Old Boy.
Thriller.
Yeah, one of the great like cult crime thrillers, and to me, breakthrough movie into world cinema, into Korean cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I think very important in history, this film, for literally like people around the world going, something's happening in Korea, in Korean film, we should be paying attention.
Yeah.
And this is like an absolute classic from Park Chan-wook.
Mm.
When was the first time you saw this movie?
I saw it at home with my parents.
Oh my gosh. Like not, how old were you?
I think I was like 14 or 15.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because I remember setting it as like my favorite movie on MySpace.
Wow.
Whenever I watched a cool movie, I would go into my MySpace and I would change my MySpace. I remember I had Sex Lies and Videotape up there for a long time.
Cool kid,
I don't remember what that
you
was about.
You got Choi Min Sik and your top friends on MySpace, dude?
Yeah, man. Well, no, I'd put it in the movie section because you could put your favorite.
Yeah.
But like actually all the cool kids were just writing. They would just program it so it would just be nothing but like message.
A little millennial tear rolling down my eye just thinking about MySpace, all the work I would do, the coding I would do to make MySpace be so personal, so mine.
It's incredible that we learned to code to make our social medias.
Like, and then that's immediately forgot it. I've never done it ever again since.
You get like little this guy, this guy, HTML, this guy.
Okay, let's go italics. Boop, I.
I. Yeah.
Anyway, this is a great movie for a father and daughter to watch together.
Yeah, I mean, like, I loved it because it's sort of like there were so many twists and turns. And I remember my parents loved making us watch foreign cinema. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, we did watch a lot of movies together. So,
What was about Old Boy that, like, stuck with you, though? Because I've watched this a lot of times. It's one of those movies that's just really always been in my head.
Yeah.
And I think the joy of revisiting it for me is you can never forget the direction you're going in Old Boy. You can never forget once
what's
you've seen
about
it.
To happen.
Like once you've seen Old Boy, that first time is so visceral, the experience of going like where you end up, that end point. And just in case there's listeners or viewers that haven't seen it, I'm going to hold that back. I'm just holding We don't want it because I think it's such a great breakthrough movie.
Okay, yeah.
Especially for young people. If you want to like test yourself and watch something that's like a bit fucked, a bit whack.
It's so fucked.
But also really immersive. You never forget where you're heading to. But the journey getting there is like just as thrilling where you're, because you're kind of like, you embrace the feeling of going, I'm finding out all the information exactly the same time Odesu is finding out all the information. And you're kind of just on the edge, you're on the brink. And even there's moments where you have the character staring at a computer screen doing research where you're just gripped.
Yeah.
Because you need to know what is
what's
going
happening.
On. Because it's all about revenge. It's all about this mystery. It's all about like trying to understand what has happened to this guy who was locked up and imprisoned against his will out of nowhere for seemingly an unknown reason, even to you, the viewer.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so involving, so interesting, and just so like, fun in a fucked up way.
Yeah, well,
you know?
What I was gonna say is, it's so funny. Like,
so,
it's
so
great
funny. Sense of humor.
Like, it's like the opening shot is him like bringing fairy wings to his kid, and he's just a clown. Like, he's just on the train being drunk, and it's so funny. And then he's like locked in this prison cell, and there's like this one TV channel that he can watch. Like, all the rules of the prison cell are like hilarious. And even when he's sort of like training and he's trying to like chip away at the bit, like everything he does, I find the actor that plays Odesu, he's just, he's hilarious. Like, and he has this crazy hair as
that
well.
That hair that pops out. It's the actor's Choi Min Sik.
Choi Min-sik. He's a genius.
He's a genius because it's like, I've seen him in other films as well, but here it's that transformation where you go, it's hard to even compute it's the same man.
Yeah.
Yet he finds the way to go, this is the same man and this is what happened to him after this incredibly awful experience.
Yeah.
It's just an incredible movie. I'm so glad you brought it here. It's great to share with people. If you've never seen Old Boy, hold that up again. I've bought probably six different editions of Old Boy in my life. This is the latest one, the new 4K, it's a new translation from Neon Films in America.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I need it.
Oh my God, I'll have to borrow this.
You're renting it.
Put that in my bag. But it is good. And like, there's just, I don't know, it's just so, I think, silly at some point. Like, I think this, like, the way it oscillates from being like very funny and very, like, I'd say he's really, like, in the same way Greta Gerwig is so, like, comedically, like, slapsticky, like, this guy's that, and then turns around and becomes, like, an action hero. Like, just, like, there's a scene where he, like, this isn't a spoiler, but he, like, kills nine, there's, like, nine guys coming at him with knives.
It is one of the most exhilarating action sequences, a one-shot, long take, minutes long. Wide, he's got a hammer, he's beating up nine guys with a hammer. It's exhilarating. It's just beautifully choreographed because it's like messy, but it's precise.
Yeah, and it's so like, it's full on to watch. And like, there's also a scene where he like eats the octopus. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm saying like the two scenes that everybody always talks about.
But you gotta do it
because I think he kills all those people with a hammer. Then there's like a scene like with an octopus and he's like, he eats a live octopus. Yeah. And as he's eating the octopuses are like crunching the around tendrils, his face like, and like, oh, it's like so full on and it's like, but it's like a delicate, I don't know. It's just, there's so many like visually arresting and disturbing images in this film, just from like a cinematography, like picture perspective. And then you just get into like the story, which is somehow even more fucked up. We can't give it away, but like, it's so fucked up. Like and it's also like without being, like, it's so Korean. Like, you couldn't make this. It's so to do with, like, the sensibility of a culture that is so, like, and I think it's a very, like, Asian thing to, like, be about, like, honor and reputation and, like, family and, like, you know, upholding, like, a good
the sense
reputation.
Of duty one has to their family.
Exactly.
Yeah, and their standing.
And, like, not to be, like, in Australia, we don't give a fuck about our families, but, like, you know, if you could never make this film in Australia. And you could also, they tried to make it in the US. I didn't bother watching it.
It's one of my heroes of all time, Spike Lee made it. It's a disappointment, but there's still some interesting things in there.
Yeah.
But also, people will shit on this movie all the time. Give Spike Lee a break. I'm talking not to you, but directly to the audience now.
Down the camera.
I was like, people, I always
give
people,
Spike Lee a break.
Give him a break. He's one of the best filmmakers of all time.
Have you even seen Do the Right Thing? Have you seen Black Klansman?
Yeah, he makes the best movies. Malcolm X is the best biopic ever made. And it's like, I always see people online going like, oh, Spike Lee, but he made that awful Old Boy movie. How can he make... It's like, shut up, dude.
But he didn't have a chance. Like, and wasn't there some rumor that's like their studio recut it or like
there's something where
the original cut is...
He doesn't
like...
call it a Spike Lee joint. He just says a film directed by Spike Lee. It's not one of his joints.
Wow.
So it doesn't count.
Yeah. Damn.
But anyway, the original still holds maximum power.
So hard and it's so... Just like, I just remember watching it and like every turn I was surprised. Like I was like, no. And then I was like, no. And then I was like, oh my God, I hope what I think is happening isn't happening. And then it was something completely different. Like it's just so,
wow.
It's fucked. You're going to need to have like a cold shower after watching it. And probably, same with Sick of Myself as well.
Yeah, you're going to just like turn the hot water off for a week. You don't need it.
You're just going to be like, oh God.
Yeah, and probably don't call your dad after.
Yeah, no, especially if you're a girl.
One other shout out that I'll give to Old Boy, the music, the score by Cho Young-wook, I think is so freaking good. Just love that score. Love the waltziness of it all.
Yeah.
It's just,
very dreamlike.
Very dreamy. It's just such a good score.
And also those, like the... Oh man, like the cinematography or like the visual imagery in it, like him in the field coming out of a suitcase is like, I don't know, it's so rare. Yeah. Like it almost doesn't, it's like all
it's
these.
It's like that dream imagery, dude. And it's they make it set in reality. It's pretty.
Yeah, they make it set in the real world. And then also like after it's been set in like grimy Korean, like city.
The urban landscape.
Urban landscape. And suddenly it's in this field and it's sort of. Yeah, I don't know. It's so beautiful.
God. God. I could talk about this movie forever.
Yeah, me too.
We have to move on.
And we can't even spoil it.
We can't even spoil it. If you've never seen Old Boy, please, we will respect you if you do take this opportunity to see it now.
You got to see it, man.
Great pick, Nina.
Staff pick.
And you. I'll say this, as I've been concocting your staff pick recommendation, mm-hmm. as I've been turning the wheels in my head, the gears are whirring, it was the wrench in the works of like going like, okay, it's a bit different from the rest of them because Sick of Myself and Frances Ha, it is about, you
girls.
Know, a young woman that does not have her life together, basically.
No. But as we said before, like this is about an old man that does not have his life together and a young woman that does not have his life together. So
I was like, okay, well, what do I want to do? I felt like those themes were important about like, you know, almost like a coming of age in the adult world space.
A Bildungsroman,
if
you will.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, that's essential to this.
Yeah.
And then...
But I will say, Sick of Myself and Old Boy, I think actually are great companion films.
I think so too.
Because of the way they like focus on relationships mm-hmm. and push that like that boat way far out.
Way far out. And I also say they're both a little body horror type elements to them.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking in that space of like, you know, the grown up coming of age films. But then I was like, okay, well, how can I go Old Boy? I thought, well, why don't I look in Korean cinema instead for you?
Love it.
So I was like, there was a couple of things that were whirring around, but then I decided to go with a very rare film for you. It's rarely seen, but it is available to see now in Australia online.
Okay.
So I thought it was a sign. I had to go with it. It's a film from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Micro Habitat.
Drama.
I've never heard of this film.
And this is kind of like a dramedy, coming of age, but more, I'd say it's a bit more dramatic than the other ones, but I don't know, it's not quite. I think you will like this movie because it is Goeuegian, if you will.
Okay.
Very Goeuegian. It's about Miso, who lives basically day to day as a housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So her life is very small, I'd say. And the things that she likes most in her world are whiskey and cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a point in Korea where there is cigarettes go up in price and her rent is expanded as well.
Uh-huh.
So she basically decides to live much more meagerly so she can still enjoy a life of whiskey and cigarettes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I, as someone that, like, in my early 20s did not have enough money to eat food but spent it all on weed,
I think this will speak to you.
I think this because is, like, yeah.
I think this
I really, will... like, yeah, tightened my belt for the same reason. So I feel
she
this.
Basically gives up living in a home and ends up couch surfing and living with old friends, jumping around, like old friends and old bandmates. Like she used to be in a band when she was younger and starts like living couch surfing in their houses, jumping from house to house. So you kind of see her life get a little bit progressively worse as it goes on. But there's something about this film that has a good sense of humor.
Mm.
So every now and then you get a really nice, charming laugh. And there is this kind of like profound experience of warmth around this film that gives it this empathy as well.
Mm.
If anything, another thing I'd compare it to, there's a little bit of Paddington that's about it.
I've not seen Paddington, I'm sorry.
But it's like
just
a little
not
bit
fucked up enough for me.
This is your Paddington.
All right,
Micro Habitat is your Paddington.
Yeah.
It's got really captivating beauty, really lovely cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like its niceness and its warmth extends beyond its aesthetics as well. Like it's something that's really involving, like really lovely. It is by a filmmaker called John Go-woon, a female filmmaker. And I actually don't know if they've made anything else since then, but this was like a bit of a minor hit in Korea, but it's been rarely seen overseas.
Yeah.
But now in Australia, it's on Tubi. And we've got it here at the Last Video Store for you to borrow.
Oh, thank you so much. So
what do you reckon? Does it sound up your alley?
It sounds exactly up my alley.
Yeah.
It reminds me, weirdly, I was reading this book, and it's not a movie, sorry to bring a different
books,
form of media into the conversation.
The inferior art form. Books are movies, but without hot people saying the lines. I don't like them very much.
Well, I'm sorry to bring them up. but it reminds me of, there's a book called Convenience Store Woman, about a woman that just loves working in the convenience store, and everyone around her is like, you're a freak. Why do you love the convenience store? And she just loves it, and she like basically puts in similar structures just to so she could keep working at a convenience store. But it seemed, I don't know, when you were telling me that, I was like, oh, that reminds me of this other thing.
Kind of what I've done to continue working in a video store is
to put in all these structures.
Put in all these structures, move to a whole new city and town and state to work here. But you know, that's my dream.
Well, I'm glad you finally achieved it.
And I'm going to be smoking those durries and whiskeys out the back. No problem, dude. But enjoy those. Enjoy Microhabitat, Nina.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. Is there anything that you're cooking up at the moment that you want people to get their eyes upon?
Ooh.
You're always making cool stuff.
Like things.
It's a plug.
TV?
It's a plug. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I don't know when this is coming out, but I have a comedy show touring.
Oh, yes.
Australia
You're going all around Australia doing Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yes.
Sydney, Tasmania.
Tasmania, Adelaide, Canberra, Perth, Brisbane, so many places. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, I basically just talk about my pussy for an hour. So if you don't want to listen to that, then don't come. But if you like rude things and rude girls, and it's Gurwidgian, some might say.
I would say it's Gurwidgian. It sounds Gurwidgian.
There's body horror. There isn't. I was going to be like, I talk about fisting a lot, but I was like, that's not body horror. That's just sexy.
Bodily pleasure can be horrific.
That is true. anyway, but I don't know why I'm being so bashful. You already had Angela White on, Riz. I'm like, there's no...
yeah, we got to some crazy stuff.
Come to my comedy tour and watch Deadlock and also watch Latecomers on SBS.
On demand.
On demand. Yeah. And watch Koala Man on Disney Plus.
Yeah, you're everywhere, dude.
Yeah, please. Thank you. You can't get away from me.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I'm in your podcast. but yeah, thank you for having me, Alexi.
My pleasure, dude. Enjoy those. Let me know what you think of Microhabitat if you get to watch it.
I absolutely will. Thank you. Have a good
day. Get out of here, mate.
Bye.
Bye, dude.
Bye.
Wow. Oh my God, she's warped into the wall. She's warped into the wall.
The last video store.
My huge and sincere thank yous to my dear friend Nina Oyama for joining us here on The Last Video Store today. If you want to catch up with Nina, her comedy festival show is right now starting in Melbourne. It is called Nina Oyama is Coming. Check it out. It's so funny. And why don't we keep checking out what her picks are? Sick of Myself, her new release title, is actually not quite yet available for you to watch online, but keep your eyes peeled because it is a ripper, and it's the kind of thing that I feel like there might even be some more screening of that happening around town. So it's another shout out to Static Vision, a great small independent distributor here in Australia, bringing in cool, weird movies just like Sick of Myself all the time. So keep your eyes peeled on that. And Frances Ha, one of her favorite films in the weekly section, is available to watch on Binge and the Criterion channel. If you're subscribed to that, congratulations, you're a true cinephile and a real one in my eyes. Old Boy, one of my favorites as well, is available to watch and rent on VOD, and you can watch it on Shudder. And there's a few new Blu-rays of it with that gorgeous new translation from Neon. And my staff pick recommendation for Nina is Microhabitat, a small Korean film. It's hard to find, but not right now. You can watch it for free on Tubi. And I'll say this, Tubi is one of the great streaming providers. My heart sings when I think about them. They do such good work for no money whatsoever. So check out Microhabitat on Tubi and check out Nina Oyama live with her new comedy festival show in Melbourne right now and continuing around the rest of Australia. Until next time, please respect cinema in every form you receive it.